just another solid day in California. It's just the way that I was raised in California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and prints.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Last week, during Cal Poly's finals week, I caught up with former Cal Poly goalkeeper Alyssa Gianetti. She was on the Cal Poly women's soccer team around the time that Elise Krehoff was. They saw a lot of success. They won a Big West Conference regular season title. They hosted a Big West Conference tournament up here, and Alyssa was a big reason for that. I was especially interested in her comments about what it was like to play for a couple of years in a professional league in Europe, how that all kind of shook out. We talked a little bit about Cal Poly time. What struck me about Alyssa in this conversation, and I think you'll see it too, is that you always kind of wonder whether a student athlete's personality on the court is matching, or on the field is matching their personality when you just talk to them. And for Alyssa, actually, it was pretty much exactly what you expected for somebody whose hair was sometimes purple, who, you know, laid themselves on the line to the point of, you know, injuring themselves during their college career a number of times. And as a goalkeeper, nobody kind of laid out and was, you know, kind of sneaky athletic as Alyssa Gianetti on the field. It was really cool to talk to her about how she ended up at Cal Poly, what her professional experiences were like, and what is up for the future. Congratulations. She was just taking her last final, coming back to school, which is always a cool thing to see kids do as well. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did with Alyssa Gianetti on the Fansmanship.com podcast. Here with Alyssa Gianetti, Cal Poly goalie legend and former professional soccer player in Europe, and now back. What'd you do today? Tell everybody. I know what you did, but tell everybody what you did today.
Today I took my last final at Cal Poly ever, and now I'm, I guess, a college graduate. I guess if my grades go well.
Yeah, you gotta wait for your grades to come in. Hopefully, yeah. Cross your fingers. I'm sure. What was your final in today?
My final was in philosophy, so it was a tough one. It was me and all the young kids in there.
So you were gone for what, 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. I was in Norway.
That's crazy. So 2 years ago, you finish your soccer season. Were you like at this point exactly 2 years ago when you went there? Did you go like before the spring quarter, or did you finish out that spring quarter and then go over? How did that work?
I was not even halfway through winter quarter when I got a call from my agent, and he said, "How soon can you go to Norway?" And I said, "Oh, well, the quarter finishes in like 6 weeks or so." And he's like, "That's not soon enough." And so I told him I can try and make something happen. And then I found myself on a flight 4 days later to Norway.
So how does that work for school? Do you have to like tell them, "Hey, I'm out," and they give you incomplete? Like, how does that all go down?
So I had the option to continue my classes while I was abroad and work with my professors, or just to withdraw. And I got very lucky. My professors were all awesome and worked with me while I was in Norway, so I was able to finish out the winter quarter. So then I only had one term left for whenever I came back, which is now.
I haven't ever talked to you like at length, so I'm interested. How'd you end up at Cal Poly? You're from Orange County, right? Mm-hmm. Esperanza High School, you told me. Yeah. And I had a college roommate who was a water polo goalie from Esperanza. How'd you end up at Cal Poly? What's that like? What was that process like for you? I know it was probably, what, 6 years ago now, but what was that process like for you in terms of getting recruited? I'm always interested in players and how they end up here.
Yeah, so I was kind of a late bloomer throughout my soccer career and didn't really realize that I had the potential to play in college until I was about like late freshman, sophomore year of high school. And so I got on a better club team and started going to those college showcases, and then I started getting noticed by coaches, and I hadn't even heard of Cal Poly before, but even though my uncle's he's an alumni, which, oh, really? I didn't know. Okay. So my parents were just trying to help me, you know, think of schools to send out letters to with my schedules and all that. And so Cal Poly ended up being one of them. I didn't even know where San Luis Obispo was or what it was like. And sure enough, they were interested in me and they came out to watch me play a few games. And I had some other schools that expressed interest, like USC and some, and University of Utah, some bigger Pac-12 schools. But I ended up going on a visit my junior year of high school when I was 15 years old. And actually on that unofficial, I met Elise Krieghoff. We were both little 15-year-olds, and yeah, we were friends ever since. And then once I saw the school, I had an awesome stayover visit, and I was just like, wow, I really fit in here and really loved it. And it just stuck with me. And so I did another official visit the year after, and then I committed, I think, around New Year's in my senior year of high school, or junior year, actually. Yeah.
Got it. And so you obviously played with Elise for a long time, and you guys are friends. It's funny because, you know, one of you is a striker, one of you is a keeper. I'll bring up the video that she sent me from Norway, the grainy bicycle video that she sent me. But what was that like? Like, what made you wanna be here? I'm always just, again, kind of interested in what about Cal Poly kind of sets it apart for somebody like you.
It was just a combination of the soccer and the school and the whole environment. I've really liked how laid back everything was, even the program and how the coaches were. They were more interested in us as people than just soccer players, like parts to a machine. They saw like the personality in their players and stuff, which was really cool. And I just felt like I got along well with the whole team and even just the area, because I surf and I like hiking, I like being outside and all that, and it's just perfect. And it's far enough away from home, but also like close enough where I can escape for a weekend if I want to. So it was just like a lot of things that added up, and I just kind of, I don't know, it was kind of like an intuitive feeling as well. I mean, like fitting in here, and it ended up working out. I have zero regrets.
What was your first impressions of Alex Crozier?
That's kind of a funny question. I just thought I wouldn't have pegged him as a college coach just because he was so laid back and just wanted to talk about life in addition to soccer. It wasn't just all business. He just wanted to make sure we were comfortable there. And I don't know, he was just almost kind of like a father figure, if I had to say. And that's because I've known him for a long time now. But I don't know, he just likes making people feel comfortable, and he's not pressing his agenda to win national titles on you, which is really nice. You don't feel like used, like you get that feeling from some coaches.
Did you feel that way other places?
Not necessarily me personally, but I've just heard stories from other people and friends that I've played with growing up that have gone away to other bigger, more competitive schools and just have bad experiences, and it just ended up ruining soccer as a whole for them, and it's really sad to see.
Okay. How about your first impressions of Elise?
I think you can, even if you asked her the same question, we both knew we were going to be friends right away, just because you're both kind of oddballs and a little wild back in the high school days, and we just clicked from the beginning, and now she's, yeah, one of my best friends, which is really cool, and we've had similar experiences, and even, yeah, after, of course, like, we played in Norway together, but even after with our future careers and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. So you get to Cal Poly. What was it? Was there anything about SLO or the environment here that you didn't expect when you arrived on campus?
Kind of, yeah. It's totally different. It has a different feel than Orange County. Just, it's a lot more slowed down, and people are like enjoying themselves in their lives instead of just being fast paced, go, go, go. Like, I even noticed that the first thing I think I noticed was driving on the 101, how everyone was going a lot slower and weren't like driving super aggressively like they do down in LA. And I was like, what the heck? And then even downtown, I just noticed it was a friendlier environment, people saying hi to each other, and even the store clerks and everything. And so it was like soul soothing almost.
I used to feel that way when I drive back up here from San Diego. I did undergrad in San Diego, and I drive back up in like Morro Bay, Cayucas, that little hill that you go over between them. I'm from Cayucas, so I'd go home, oh, like my blood pressure would go down. It was cool. So I grew up around a lot of surfers. I can't surf, but I saw you come in on like a skateboard in here, and obviously you do surf. What are some of your favorite spots around?
The Rock is a fun spot, and Sewer's over in Shell. Actually, I've been so busy this quarter, I haven't been out in the water once, but when I was home during the holidays when I got back from my second year in Norway, November, December, I was surfing a ton in, like, North Huntington, Sunset Beach area. So I'm happy now that I'm done with school, I can get back out in the water.
And you're headed back down south now. I'm interested to hear about kind of the process, because I think when people come to play soccer at Cal Poly, you know, they might, and if you're a women's soccer player especially, like, there aren't a ton of kind of professional opportunities, or at least in my head, like, they're not just, you know, big on a billboard, hey, you can be professional over here. Like, what was that process like for you? Was that always something that was in your sights in terms of playing professionally, or was there even any, like, model for that as you were growing up to be a professional women's soccer player?
I mean, that really wasn't in my thought process up until, like, I'd say my junior, senior year of college even. I didn't realize I had the potential to even go that far with soccer until those, like, later years. And so I just had a feeling after my senior game, I wasn't that sad, because I had a feeling that I wasn't done with soccer. And by that point, I knew I wanted to pursue it, but I wasn't set on it and wasn't going to be devastated if it didn't happen. So I was working with Bernardo and Al and Lindsay to get some highlights together and try and contacting an agent. And Cal Poly hasn't, I think they've had maybe one player who had played semi-pro years back. So it was kind of all of us. It was a new experience for everyone.
It's like Sharon Monroe, but she didn't play pro soccer. She, you know, she's like a track and field athlete, right? Like, I mean, that's like as far as it goes on some level, right? Like,
yeah. So the coaches started networking with other coaches in the Big West, and we got in touch with an agent who I actually ended up signing with, and he was working with me and Elise, and he basically told us, he said, I'm not going to sign with you until I have, like, a contract for you, because it's, I don't want to give you any false hope, and he's also busy. He's signed with national team players and stuff, so he's a pretty high profile agent. And so
you and Elise have the same agent? Had the
no,
same agent?
Was, okay. In the beginning, he was helping us both, okay. But Elise didn't end up signing with him. Okay. Only I did, but yeah, he just started sending out our highlights to teams, and I hadn't heard anything for a few months, and so I was just staying fit, and I was in the middle of my winter quarter, so I didn't think much of it. And then he kind of told me he got some bites, but he wasn't sure. So it was just kind of playing a waiting game and just putting all my trust in just this agent, because that's, like, the only connection me or the coaches or anyone had to the professional world. So it was just putting our faith in this guy and hoping he could get something.
And it ended up working out. So, like, what were, like, how do I phrase this question? I don't even know how to ask it. So, like, you're thinking about going and playing professionally somewhere. Obviously, the NWSL, right, mm-hmm. is, like, there were, like, 4 or 8 teams. It's, like, very, very competitive in terms of, like, being able to get into that league. But there's leagues in Europe. Mm-hmm. But you hear horror stories about various leagues in Europe, too, in terms of not paying, you know, not getting paid once you're there, you know, all kinds of stuff. Go for a trial, but you're not really sure. I mean, I listened to a lot of, you know, I've heard some stories. So how did that all, like, shake out with you? Did you have, like, a number in mind, or, like, some things that were non-negotiables for you as you were thinking about going to another country where, you know, you don't speak the language, etc.?
I mean, I really didn't have any standards going in. I didn't want to have to pay myself to play, or if I cut even, that's what I told myself, then I'd be stoked to go and be on a team. And I really didn't care about the division I was going into. I was prepared to go into a Division II or Division I team. Like, below the top level, because I'm coming from a small school and I'm a rookie, so I wasn't expecting to go straight into a top division of, like, with a good team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I maybe would have hesitated on, like, going to Russia or somewhere like that, but really, really no standards. And when, as far as the going and not knowing if you're on trial or not, that actually happened to me, and I didn't even know. My team sent me a contract, and they didn't sign their part, and so they sent it to me to sign. So it wasn't good until they signed it themselves or the coach signed it.
But did you think that they had signed it and that it was all good?
Oh, I thought I had a contract. I was celebrating. I was like, oh, I'm on a team. Like, yeah. And so I'm get there and I practice with the team for like a week. We play some scrimmages and stuff. And the coach tells me to come down to the office. And then he's like, yeah, like, so we want you for the team. And so we're going to sign the official contract now. So they signed like their half and made it official. And I was like, I already thought it was official. Wow. So apparently I was on trial and I didn't know, but which is probably good because then I didn't have that pressure. So I guess it worked out.
Yeah, interesting. Like, or would you have wanted to like know so that you could like, you know, show like some kind of more effort? Or I don't know. As a keeper, that's kind of a hard thing to do, right? To like, oh, I'm efforting more than you because, I mean, it's not like you're running all game or something.
I guess it's just being, because you, when you're a goalkeeper, you get into a certain zone and it's trying to sustain that for 90 minutes. And you can get away with kind of slacking off at the collegiate level and levels below that. But at the professional level, if you slack off a little bit, they notice. And that'll go into whether they want to sign you or whether they want to keep you or anything. And even just their like respect for you and credibility as a player.
So when you're like a player from overseas, do they put you up somewhere? Are you responsible? Like I'm interested in like the logistics of that, like for your housing, for everything else that how does that work when you go over there?
So normally they set you up with everything. This has been the case for almost everyone I've talked to that's played overseas professionally. They, in your contract, they'll usually include housing, whether they're paying for it or if it's a certain percentage deducted from your contract or whatever. And so that's usually all set up before you get there. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have your apartment and it's usually shared with one or two other teammates. And it's usually all the international players, together. And sometimes they'll set you up with a car. Like I had a car in Norway, which is awesome. My first year it was manual transmission, and thankfully, my roommate, her name's Bianca. She played at Auburn, and she's from the Bay Area, which is really, really weird coincidence. She actually grew up driving stick, so we were set.
And you didn't know how?
No. So she was a chauffeur.
Did you learn on that car, or were you just like, no, I'm not going to learn how to drive a stick in a new country?
No, I was not about it, because in Norway there's tons of hills and roundabouts and just like single lane freeways, and so I was like just letting her drive.
Yeah.
But the second year they got us an automatic transmission, so I was, since I'd been there for a year, I was comfortable enough and knew my way around that I took that on, and it was great. It was nice not to be tied down in one place, so we can go out and explore. Like Elise and I, we hung out quite a bit. She was in Oslo. I was in Bergen, which is an hour flight or 7-hour drive.
Oh, wow.
But the flights are probably like $30 US,
oh, wow,
which is awesome. So we and her took the car and road trip to one of the most famous hikes in Norway. It's called Trolltunnel.
I've seen some pictures you guys took. And as a photographer, I'm like, this looks pretty amazing. I spent some time in Alaska at one point, and like I didn't take pictures then, but I always like look at other people's pictures from places like where you were, and it was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was crazy. Elise was all about soaking up the experience in Norway. She did a better job than I did, and she's only there for a year. She was traveling all over, but it was only a 4-hour drive from Bergen, so she came to me and we drove to, it was near Odda, Norway, and it's called Trolltunga. It ended up being... It was downpouring, it was freezing, and in this hike they tell you you have to start it before a certain time and you have to turn back and go back to your car at a certain time, and it's a total of like an 8-9 hour hike.
Right.
And so we our car overheated on the way there, but we made it up to the mountain, and then we stopped and we just started our hike, and we hiked for, it seemed like forever. Uh-huh. And you're supposed to bring a change of clothes just because you get soaked and freezing at the top. And once you get to the landmark, it's this rock that just protrudes off this mountain, and you're like hundreds of feet up over this fjord, and it's just the most insane view. And it's terrifying because you can walk to the end of this rock and just let your feet hang off. And I'm sure you can see a lot of pictures of people there on Pinterest or whatever, just because it's super popular. There's quite a few people there, but... Yeah, we did the hike, and then after we went and just, we ate a huge pizza to ourselves and then snuck into a hotel and used the jacuzzi and the spa room and stuff.
So I mean, some of these experiences are total non-soccer experiences, and it's something, something that's always pretty cool to hear from people who go abroad and who take advantage of being abroad. You know, like you said, I mean, you were happy to break even. I mean, was the contract better, a little better than that, hopefully, for you? I mean, what did you actually, like, were able to save a little bit of money playing professionally overseas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ended up working on it. I was able to, I wouldn't say save, but because I would have 3 months in between the seasons. And right. So I used the money I saved just to be able to enjoy my time home and not have to worry about finding a job and working. So right. I just... Cool. Yeah, I hung out with my family, my friends, and went to some concerts, traveled a bit while I was off, because I wanted to make sure I was off from soccer, just because 9 months is a very long season, especially on mentally and physically. So I'm happy I took advantage of that and had the financial resources to be able to.
Yeah, maybe the second season was better than the first. I don't know. Maybe they like you, so mm-hmm. they keep you. How did Elise end up over there? I would love to talk to her at some point too, but I'll let you tell me, since I would imagine you had something to do with it if you guys were in the same league and doing the same things. She was on the Boston Breakers, I think. They're, you know, I mean, like, you talk about the total number of players that are in the NWSL, and it's like under 200, mm-hmm. and many of them are foreign players too. Mm-hmm. So you talk about like a top 200. And not necessarily in the world, but like for sure in the U.S. And this, you know, and Elise from Cal Poly is over there playing in that league. I always thought that was pretty remarkable. But she wasn't getting a lot of time. It's probably not easy to be in that league in Boston and try to, you know, subsist and whatever. I haven't talked to her. But how'd she end up in Norway?
After her year with the Breaker, she just wanted to play, and she wasn't getting very much time or the recognition she really deserved as a player. And she knew I was in Norway, and we kept in contact, and she knew how I was having a good time and how the league was strong. And there was a lot of Americans actually playing in the Norwegian league. And there's a lot of successful players in the NWSL that started in the Toppserien, which is really cool. So there's like a nice exchange between the two leagues. And I was obviously pushing her to come out, especially when I knew I was going to stay another season. And so I was just telling her to get in contact with my agent, or the guy that my agent was talking to, who was kind of a
intermediary.
Between the American agents and the Norwegian teams. And she ended up getting in contact with him. And if you have the NWSL like on your resume, then you're automatically going to be sought out. And so that really helped her. And so I think she heard that there was three teams interested in her or something, and she ended up signing with Vålerenga. And I remember she texted me one day, and she said I'm coming, and I was like, no way. I just couldn't believe it. We were just laughing, just because we would joke around at Cal Poly just all 4 years saying, oh, we got to be on the same professional team or something, like, we got to do this. But neither of us thought it was really a possibility. And then we found ourselves in, I was in Norway, Elise was in the NWSL, and then now we're both in the Toppserien. And I was even pushing my coach to recruit Elise, because we really needed a striker, a goal scorer. And I was like, I have a friend who's playing the NWSL. She's really good. And it ended up not working out. But it's funny, once we played each other, I kind of like nudged my coach, and I was like, you could have had her. you messed up.
Was this before or after the bicycle kick heard around the world?
This was even before. She was like making a name for herself even the first few games in the Toppserien, which is awesome. And yeah, she had all the coaches' attention. It was really cool to see. And I was like, yeah, that's my friend. We're a teammate.
You're like, yeah, there she is. So how many times did you guys play each other? Like 2, 3, 4 times during that year?
We played each other twice in league, because you play one home game, one away. Right. And then I think we played each other for the Norwegian Cup, which is just the national tournament. Cup, right. It goes across all divisions, kind of. Yeah, you know how that format works. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we played each other 3 times, and I got to see her a lot, because there was another team in the league that's from Bergen, just a few kilometers away. And so when when they played each other, Elise was in Bergen again, and so they stayed. There's actually, we had a really fun time when Elise played the other Bergen team. My parents were in Norway, and so I convinced Elise and three of her teammates to stay that night. One was, her name's Michelle Betos. She's a really famous goalkeeper in the NWSL.
Okay.
And a girl named Goonie, who's playing in the NWSL now. She's on the Icelandic national team. And then her, Elise's good friend and teammate from Boston, who went over to the same team, Stephanie Rudoya. So we had just a group of professional soccer players just all together with my parents hanging out in Norway. And we just, well, now we're playing shuffleboard and pool and everything. And it was just so funny to see that group of people. And my parents were kind of tripping out just to have these kind of decorated professional players around and just hanging out and having a good time. So it was really cool. That was one of the coolest things, I think, was just being able to meet all these professional players that just have all been through it.
So it sounds like Norway has a pretty, established, pretty good professional league and system, and it's good to their players, and, probably better to their players, it sounds like, on some level, than the NWSL. I know you didn't play in the NWSL, but you obviously have talked to a lot of people who did, and you've experienced Norway. What's different about... What's different about either soccer culture or just the way that they approach the leagues there that's different than what your perception of here is?
I think even just logistically, there's a lot more security with your contract. At the if you play in the NWSL, they can cut you and cut your contract at a moment's notice. But in Norway, they can't do that. Or maybe
you're signed.
Yeah, once you're signed for the year unless you suffer a terrible injury or... Right. I don't know, break FIFA rules or something. So that's a big incentive. And the pay and quality of life is so much better in, not just in Norway, just abroad in general. Because they pay for you to live. They pay, you get your salary on top of that. And I mean, in Norway, the quality of life is really high in general. Yeah. So it's nice to be included in that as a worker. What else? And yeah, I know in the NWSL, as a rookie, you live with host family. You don't have your own space. You make, I think last year, the minimum pay was $13,000 a year, which is nothing. That's not enough to live. And so I know some people have to get a second job and on top of
that. Do you care if I ask you how much you made?
Oh, no, I made, my first year, it was just kind of this was the standard. This is the standard contract, the rookie contract. I made, it was, I'm trying to convert it. It's roughly $2,500 a month, and then they
for 9 months.
Yeah, and then they subtracted my rent and stuff, so it ended up being $1,800-$1,900 a month, which was awesome. I mean, Norway is very expensive, but I was able to save a few G's when I was home and sustain. But yeah, and then they bumped it up. I think I got a 5 or 10% increase the next year, which was really helpful.
Cool. So I mean, sounds like you had a really good experience over there. But at some point, maybe you just, I mean, it's like living abroad for too long and maybe you get homesick. Is that kind of how it was? Or did you have opportunities to stay over there and keep playing? Or what did that look like?
Yeah, my team wanted me to sign for another year, but I feel like I soaked up everything Norway had to offer. Because this country is very small, and I've played against each team in the league, almost 4, 5, 6 times now. So I feel like I knew the players, I knew the style of play, and I don't know, I was just too comfortable. But yeah, homesickness was definitely a factor, because it's a 15-hour flight and 9 hours ahead time difference, so that was kind of brutal. And then yeah, I felt like towards the end of the second year, I was like, okay, it's time for a change. And I got injured, actually, and so I think that made things a little bit difficult. I suffered a grade 4 tear to my UCL in my elbow.
As a goalie,
yes.
In my right elbow.
So
the UCL is a baseball injury. That's a Tommy John surgery. Do they do Tommy John for goalkeepers?
They do Tommy John for goalkeepers. Actually, Lindsay Smith, she tore UCL completely. She had a really gnarly one. So she had Tommy John surgery. But thankfully, mine wasn't a full tear, so I was able to heal on its own. But
the rehab instead of the full
stuff. Yeah.
But were you throwing with your left arm then when you threw, or just not throwing?
Just not throwing. I mean, I didn't play. Thankfully, it happened two games before a big summer break where they do have all the international dates and camps and stuff. So I just went home a few weeks early in June and let it rest for six, 8 weeks, and then returned with everyone else and was able to finish out the second half of the season. But it was hard being injured and being abroad, because soccer was my only job there. And so when I couldn't play and I was just sitting out, I was like, well, what's the point? So that was kind of hard. And so I think that kind of took its toll.
Spurred you to think about, hey, maybe I need to be back home. after college, I lived away for like 3 years in a row, and it was like in like Florida and Colorado. But like, I'm from Cayucas, so like, you know, it's definitely something that I can relate to on some level. I'm sure you would have had other opportunities, even other places, right? Mm-hmm. Besides Norway, but it's just kind of a matter of, okay, what do you feel like this chapter of, like, you know, your athletic chapter is kind of closed at this point? It's just kind of like, hey, I feel good about it. I played a couple years professionally. It sounds like you went abroad as much to play soccer as you did to, I mean, like you said, you soaked up all that Norway had to offer. It sounds like that was kind of as much of a motivation for you as anything.
Yeah, I had, after this last year, I had received some interest from even some other countries in like Finland, Sweden, and even a few more, I don't even remember, right. But I was just, it would have taken a lot for me to stay anywhere abroad again, and so I had my sights on the NWSL, but that is, yeah, it's insanely competitive, and even just,
it seems more political than other things too,
and that's why I didn't want to play my last season just kind of resenting soccer and
resenting like American soccer. I don't know. Do you have thoughts? I mean, I know they recently had like a USSF election. Like, do you, how much do you keep up on all that junk? And like, cause I kind of did I got a little bit like beautiful mind crazy about it, like trying to figure it all out. And it's wild kind of how different soccer is run in this country versus other countries. I mean, you experienced it. Do you have any specific thoughts on it?
Not really. I'm kind of biased just by hearing all just the personal accounts of what's been going on just from the inside. And it's just, yeah, the politics and there's no security and all that. And it's just, they don't really, if you're not a national team player or a huge star, then it's just like, you're just, yeah, another part to their machine. And I don't know, it just sucks the person out of you, and you're just a player and that's it. That's all you have to offer, and which is really unattractive to me and as a league. So,
and it wasn't like that over in Norway, it sounds like.
No, not at all. So I got really lucky with my club too, and my coaches and the environment I was in. I just felt really welcomed from the first day and really appreciated and stuff. And so I became really close with the girls and the community and the coaches and everything. And so that was just, that part was very fulfilling, because if you just strip it down to just the soccer and that's all you have, then that's, I don't know, that's a little too empty for me. Yeah.
Interesting. What was the thing about Norway that surprised you the most?
Oh, that's a difficult question. Okay, well, first was the weather I was getting myself into. Because Bergen the climate in Bergen is more similar to that of Scotland than it is to Oslo, which is in Norway, because it rains 280 something days out of the year.
You played in Bergen.
Yes, and I played in Bergen. And so it rained, it felt like every day that I was there. And so I wasn't expecting that, because I knew very little about Norway, even when I was flying out there. And then to be in Bergen, which is completely different climate wise, that was a big shock. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to, like, I'm going to be forced to get used to this, to be playing and training in the rain and the sleet, snow.
Wearing a hat or something, and, like, yeah, so the rain comes off my face.
Yeah, so mainly that, or just the warmth and friendliness of the people. Everyone was, on a surface level, they seem very shy and reserved and stuff, but that's because they don't really see the point of having surface level conversation with complete strangers. So if you say hi or smile at someone and just in passing, they will not acknowledge you.
Oh, really?
But so it takes you, once they get comfortable with you and know you're going to be around for a while and it's worth letting those walls down, and they are just the sweetest people you'll ever meet, which is really cool.
That's fantastic. Did you learn what's the language like situation? Obviously they probably know English, I think, right? Like a lot of the people there.
I'm convinced they speak English better than some Americans, because they start learning it, I think, when they're 7 years old up until 18, and they're tested on it vigorously. And so everyone spoke English. I mean, the older generations, like my coach, kind of struggled a bit. He would tell me to tell my defense to cut the angels quite often, and I never corrected him in the 2 years just because it was so funny and it became the inside joke. But they all, yeah. So that was really nice, because I was able to talk to my team in English and like speak to them and instruct them in English during the games, and they know what I was saying. And I mean,
so when you're doing your best, I'm trying to picture the keeper that's like famous for just like yelling at somebody as soon as something happens. I mean, pretty much every keeper maybe, yeah. but when you're doing your best impression of that keeper, and yelling at everybody, it's in English and they understand.
Yeah. Yeah. They know. I mean, I feel like when you're mad in any language, that people know or said, but
is that part of like the communication? Was it different on the professional level than on the collegiate level here?
Yeah. If you don't hold your teammates accountable, even if it's cutthroat and can be perceived as being mean, it's any criticism is encouraged just because it's going to make the team better as a whole. And
if you're interesting culture.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've had one of my defenders throw a water bottle at me for not restarting the drill fast enough, just because out of pure passion.
In practice.
Yeah. In yelling at me. Yeah. But then after it was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I just got heated. And it was just very intense. When we were training, and our coach would antagonize us because I was on a very young team. And so he wanted us to be, I don't know, to be strong and to go full force into tackles and just fuel that fire. And so he would purposely
not be timid.
Yeah, exactly. And so he would purposely mess up the scores and give one team an advantage to piss off the other team. And so we'd do these really tight quarter drills where girls would throw each other on the ground and just out of pure passion and stuff. And it was really cool to see. I never saw that at Cal Poly or at the collegiate level.
Interesting. I know we're kind of wrapping up, and I'm sure are you driving back to the OC today?
Oh no, I'm hanging around until Tuesday because my parents are coming into town later today, and then I have Elise is actually coming down on tomorrow.
Oh,
Elise and one of my
we should have scheduled a two person podcast.
I know that would have been great. I didn't find out until yesterday. She just texted me. That's how our communication is. I mentioned that I was finishing like a few weeks ago, and then she said, oh yeah, I'm gonna come down. And then I just hear from her that her and one of my other friends are coming, so
cool, that'd be fun.
Yeah, so yeah, I have some friends coming up from Orange County, and then Elise and one of my other friends coming down from the Bay, and
maybe get a surf session in.
Hopefully. I mean, I'm the only one that surfs out of the bunch, so
yeah, you had like labrum issues, was it?
Yeah.
in college.
Did your coaches ever tell you not to surf or skateboard, or like how did that
what
was that conversation like in college?
Yeah, I had both my labrums repaired, and it was
in your legs. Yeah, your leg labrums.
Yes, my hip labrums. It wasn't my coaches so much, it was Crystal the
Slover.
Yeah, Crystal Slover, head athletic trainer. She was ruthless. She would see me on my skateboard even when she said I shouldn't be, because it makes my hips uneven when I don't know what the logistics of it, but I was not to be riding my skateboard, and she caught me a few times, and she would be so mad when I would come in for therapy or something
with the board on your arm.
She would just shake her head, and that was the worst, is disappointing Crystal, because you knew it just hit you right in your soul.
What's something about Cal Poly and being an athlete at Cal Poly that maybe is underrated, or maybe it doesn't have to be like a great thing either, just something people don't understand about what it's like to be an athlete at Cal Poly?
I think even just, it's not so much individual teams, it's just all the athletes are in it together, and the staff. Like, I've gotten really close with the strength coaches, girls from other sports and guys from other sports, and even the
Holder and Sarah.
I hang out with them often, and it was like they're like the only people I knew on campus coming back, and it was cool to be in that weight room and lifting, and it just, and even just seeing other athletes in passing, you know who they are, so you just have this built-in community even if they're not on your same team or whatever, which is really cool, and everyone supports each other, and it's a really good feeling. It's not like you're competing against each other to be the best sport at the school, which is you're all in this together and all struggling at 5 a.m. running or whatever.
Yeah. Did you participate in some of that this quarter?
Not
the 5 a.m.?
No, not the 5 a.m. running. I did one of Sarah's strength programs for 10 weeks. Barbell boot camp. I'll advertise.
I see her on Instagram all the time. I'm like, dang, like, could I benefit from something like that, man?
Oh, yeah, it's killer. So I've been in there doing that almost every day and lifting, and it's nice to be in that environment, because I'm not on a team right now, so I don't have that those girls
pushing you're used
me.
To it.
Yeah. So, but even just being in that weight room and having Sarah and the other athletes around me, then it kind of pushed me to train as hard as I wanted to. So it was really cool. I really am going to miss the weight room.
Got it. So you got some plans here now, right? I mean, you got some plans ahead of you. What's next for Alyssa Gianetti?
Next, I will take in this month off. Now that I'm graduated, I'm going to treat myself for, thank you, to taking April off. And then I'm going to enroll in a EMT course and get my EMT certificate so I can either go into a firefighting academy or a paramedic school. So whatever, I'm just going to go one step at a time. So first, next step is EMT. Yeah. School, so
what you gotta do, you gotta take one at a time. Something that Elise has done too, right? I mean, talk about being friends with and playing in the same league or whatever.
Yeah, so Elise is actually enrolled in the San Francisco Fire Academy, which is really cool. She's a bit ahead of me in that, so, but she's a good resource to have. She's kind of did a lot of research and met with a bunch of women in fire and talked to a bunch of people and just kind of set herself up, and she got into a really competitive class for fire, which is really cool. And Good. So it's,
yeah, you hear a lot of horror stories. I won't make you comment on it because whatever, but like, you hear a lot of horror stories. It's cool that that's something, the direction you guys are going. That's pretty rad. Okay, I didn't bring it up yet. Last year, I don't know, it was probably like, I woke up one morning and I had this message on my phone, and it was like a direct message from Zedabish or Zebedish or whatever Elise's Twitter handle is, and it was, look at this video. And it was just like, look at this video, that's Alyssa. And I looked at it, and it was, you know, this grainy, maybe rainy video of somebody hitting a bicycle kick over your head. And I text her back, because I don't think I even knew she was in Norway at this point. I said, is that you? She goes, yep. And that was pretty funny. I had to retweet it, and I think I even wrote a post about it. What happened?
This was, I'll just go through the whole game. This is, we were playing at my team's home stadium, and
how many people go to your guys' games over there?
It depends. Yeah. We in Bergen, like for my team, up like probably average of 100, but some games we played where it was like 800. Okay. So it just depends where. But yeah, our teams were playing each other. We're both kind of middle of the pack at the time, and each game is very important. And so we started off leading. I think we were up 2-0, and then a girl on our team got a red card. Okay. And so they came back and tied it 2-2, and it's Elise comes in during the second half sometime. And
so she's like the super sub?
Yep. Okay. And I think it was like the 89th minute of the game, and we're tied 2-2, and so we're just trying to hang on and just get a single point. Good point. And it's raining, it's kind of a weird feel because we're playing a player down and they had a bunch of momentum because they tied it up from a two goal deficit. And I just remember there's just scramble in the 18 yard box, and this ball kind of drops. I forget how it happened, but Elise's back was to the goal, and she's probably about 15 yards out, and I just see her kind of falling backwards and kind of stick her leg out to kick the ball, and just hit this arcing shot over my head, and I had no chance just because the spin it had on it, and just she hit it perfectly. And I just remember looking around and seeing the ball in the net, and I was just, I couldn't even be upset. I was like, I knew that meant we lost the game, but it was just Elise, and it was just kind of just the irony, I guess, of the moment of just being scored on by Elise, by her falling over. It wasn't a bicycle kick, Elise, if you hear this. She fell over.
She slipped and her foot accidentally hit the ball?
She was more surprised that she scored than anyone. And I just remember her. I just stood there. I couldn't even do anything because. And then after the game, I just, like, as soon as they blew the final whistle, my whole team was all bummed. And I had to, like, pretend to be upset because or else people would be like, what the heck? But I ran over to Elise and I just, like, jumped on her. I was like, are you kidding me? You fell over.
So that's one I don't think either one of you are probably going to forget for a while. Alyssa, I really appreciate taking the time, 40 minutes plus. And best of luck in paramedic school, EMT school, right? Yes, okay. Yes. And then paramedic or fire. Best of luck in your career and everything. And congratulations. Last final. That's a huge, I feel very honored that you chose today to chat with me. Actually.
plans?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go work out after this, so I don't have any exciting plans until my parents get here. So I guess I'm but yeah, I'm happy to meet and chat.
All right, take care.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fencemanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fencemanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Signs out on the streets direct me running back.